Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Bobby Laporte, CEO of Bobby Laporte & Associates and host of Executive Aid Station. In today's competitive and dynamic executive marketplace, we believe that leadership is an endurance event, and we are here to provide the support that today's leaders need. Our show guests are executives who have successfully achieved a balanced life, as well as experts in fitness, health and wellness, and personal leadership, who share their strategies for living and leading mindfully and gaining a competitive edge in the workplace. Today, my special guest is Judy Dang, a corporate productivity trainer and coach and the founder of Avid at Work. Judy helps companies and ambitious idea people become more productive, move past overwhelm, and achieve their goals faster. Judy delivers interactive workshops on prioritizing, better work habits, and how to deal with the technology ooze. I love that. She also works one-on-one with professionals to finally get those important projects done. Clients hire Judy when the way they work no longer works. She's like a personal trainer, but for work. And I can tell you that I hired Judy to help me get a long overdue project off my desk, and I'm glad that I did. When not working, Judy can be found on the trails at Land's End in San Francisco, making lemon meringue pie, wonderful, or reading multiple books at the same time. So Judy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bobby. I'm so happy to be here.
I'd like to hear more about the lemon meringue pie, but we'll talk about that at another time. I know you're quite the cook. So first, Judy, tell us more about Avid at Work and what motivated you to start the company.
I heard your podcast episode when Gary Parise interviewed you on lessons learned from training for your seventh Ironman. You said your strongest event was the run portion, right? Versus the bike or swim?
Correct, yes.
I discovered that I had not been using my strengths to my full potential. After moving through a variety of jobs and industries, I discovered two common threads. I like and I'm good at getting things done, and I like and I'm good at supporting idea people implement strategy. 10 years ago, I left the University of California, San Francisco. I entered a completely new area, woodworking and interior design. At UCSF, I had worked in project management, website design, event planning, writing. Making furniture and interior design was a major pivot. 4 years ago, I finished the interior design degree and launched my own business. I designed and organized home offices and small commercial offices, but I discovered that office clutter was only the tip of the iceberg for my clients. Mm. I had to learn how the client did work. How many hours did she spend at work? How much paper? Was she a filer or a piler? How did she schedule projects? All of that. When I was in design school, I wasn't taught to ask those types of questions. Mm-hmm. But my own work experience and research, I had seen that they have enormous impact on the quality of our experience of work. Asking good questions is what I do well. So I was bringing into design dormant skills like productivity, goal setting, getting stuff done. Then one of my friends asked me to be her accountability buddy for her as she launched her own business. I enjoyed that so much. I said to myself, I want to be known as the accountability lady. So I rebranded to Avid at Work in order to combine all of my past skills and experiences into a holistic view of work. And since I know that productivity is my strength, I concentrate on that more now. And that's how Avid at Work was born.
I was going to say, you take a very holistic approach and you use that word. So it's just really interesting, all the disciplines and strengths that you bring to your clients. You mentioned in there that productivity is one of your kind of key areas of focus. So what do you find are the most common productivity problems that your clients ask you to help them with?
These are the common problems I hear about. Drinking out of the fire hose, mm-hmm. having too much to do, feeling like they're busy but not productive, competing demands and priorities, goal setting, accountability, having multiple stakeholders such as, multiple bosses, employees, coworkers, business partners, and then clients, right? People on overdrive working in their businesses and on their businesses.
Right.
They don't ask me about good lighting or a comfortable chair or digital addiction or sleep, but I weave those in clandestinely. So asking good questions is key for me, and I'm good at it. And those are the top problems I help clients with.
I loved your article titled, Thank God It's Monday. It's like so anti to what we would think, right? So thank God it's Friday. So would you talk a little bit more about what you call the work paradox? In other words, we've been trained not to enjoy work. How can we make work more meaningful, a more meaningful and enjoyable part of our lives, and something that doesn't have to necessarily be that we don't look forward to, it needs to be endured, but something that we can really enjoy?
Absolutely. That was a fun article for me to write. I wrote that piece after reading a book called Flow by psychology professor Csikszentmihalyi. Csikszentmihalyi. That's his last name.
Right. People call him Mike for short, I understand.
Mike?
Yeah. Yes.
In the book, he calls flow experiences those optimal situations when we feel in the zone, you know, that runner's high. It is a state of deep concentration when all thoughts and feelings and senses are in harmony and focused on the same goal. Related to work, his research found that workers felt in flow 50% of the time. But when in leisure time, doing things like watching TV, going out with friends, eating out, they were in flow only 18% of the time. So 54% at work, 18 outside of work. So the work paradox is we tend to feel in the zone more at work than outside of work. Yet we have a negative attitude to work and want to spend more time at leisure. But work is the better place to experience that runner's high. He goes on to explain possible reasons for this contradiction. One, we don't pay attention to our senses. Two, we base our motivation on a strong cultural stereotype of what work is supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a constraint, you know, an infringement on our freedom. Therefore, we want to avoid it. The biggest takeaway I got out of his book was the idea that if we can direct our attention, we can cultivate a meaningful life. I heard many of your podcast guests use the phrase, know thyself. That is the number one foundation for health and wellness, don't you think?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to extend that a little bit. I say, know yourselves, because there are many selves within you. For example, for me, I enjoy meeting new people, going to networking events, even though I'm an introvert. But sometimes I'll find my schedule back-to-back with events and phone calls and coffee dates. The same person who said yes to all those things is not the same person who has to do all those things. That's what I mean by know yourselves. There are many selves within us. So I use flow in my work with clients by challenging them slightly beyond their comfort zones mm-hmm. when we create project goals and deadlines. Not too easy, not too hard. I also teach them to minimize distractions and work in focused intervals, like when you train, right? Intervals. Then I give feedback and acknowledgement of where they've come from. And oftentimes they have their noses to the grindstone. I help them look up and see the tremendous cathedral they've built over many months. It just gives me goosebumps talking about it, helping clients look up and say, wow, this is where I've come from.
Right. This is what I've accomplished. Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you were talking about flow and just in this whole concept of know thyself, you mentioned saying yes to too many things, right? Which I think many of us tend to do. So that brings us to this whole topic of overwhelm, which I think is a huge, and I know for my clients and I know for yours as well, it's a huge issue. I mean, people are triple booked. They have too many meetings. I mean, they basically like work at night and on the weekends just to work. During the day, they're just occupied. Why are we so totally booked and overwhelmed? And what are, some of the approaches or hacks that you use with your clients to help us deal with that?
This topic could take up an entire podcast, Bobby.
It could.
Right? So I'm going to invite myself on another time. But now I'm going to summarize my
invitation findings. Accepted. Yes.
Thank you. I want to give it justice in a longer format, but summarize today. One, There is more information coming at us than ever before. We know that, right? Data explosion. Forbes reported this year that 90% of the data in the world was created in the last 2 years. 90% of the data in the last 2 years.
Wow.
And it will only grow from here. Two, because email is ubiquitous and free, it makes us lazy. We use it for communication that should better be in a phone call or in person. Or too many people get CC'd in order to cover our bases or keep people in the loop. What's more, because of the way email is delivered in one big long list, unimportant emails get the same eyeball time as critical emails. We need more AI here, artificial intelligence, to help us here. Email is a big topic we can talk about more at another time. Three, the way we consume media today creates an endless stream. Before, once we finished the newspaper, we were done. Turn the last page, put it down, done. Now, rolling feeds mean we're never done. Always another link to click on, right? Continuous scrolling. I read about a change of heart from the social networks recently on this. The Economist magazine referred to this shift as slow social. Instagram introduced a new feature called You're All Caught Up to remind users that they've seen all new posts from the past 2 days. Done. Put your phone down and do something else, hopefully in the real world. Slow social is like the speed humps that alert us to slow down. I think that's a good thing when it comes to digital addiction. Four, moms who also work outside the home still do twice the housework and the childcare as dads. This is from Bridget Schulte's 2014 book, Overwhelmed. And then there's this last point. Work has become central in our lives, you know, answering big questions of who I am, how do I find meaning and purpose. We may find an identity of someone who is busy, who is in demand. We may have an identity of someone who is needed, indispensable. Our identity might be wrapped up in being the title, the manager, the executive, the founder, right? It's hard to pull away.
Right. Being busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
In demand. And it's a nice feeling to be, you know, wanted and needed. Or we may be using busy as an excuse to avoid dealing with problems at home. Problems in relationships, loneliness. So for some of us, there's actually a payoff for being busy and overwhelmed. So it's a complex topic. I'd love to explore this more with you.
How do you, so from a personal practice standpoint, how do you manage client requests, your schedule, being overwhelmed? Because you impress me as somebody who is very busy, very professional, very organized, has a lot going on, but I never get the sense that you're like on the edge or that you're stressed.
I'm so glad I give you that. I'm so glad I transfer that. I do.
Am I right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
So what
is your approach? How do you do it?
It's an endurance, like you said. It's an ongoing, never a destination, constantly tweaking. How do I do it? This is my recommendation for executives, managers. Question those meetings. Meetings are great for building rapport, camaraderie, consensus. They're bad for using as updates to your teams. Updates should be an email. Don't call a meeting just to update your team, right? Meetings are costly. For a 1 hour meeting with five people, that's 5+ hours. Is it worth that? 5+ hours. Question whether you need to be in those meetings to be there the whole time. Just because your schedule says you're in this meeting for a number of hours, do you need to be there the whole time? And then another thing I recommend, which is small, but could be very powerful, reduce 1 hour meetings to 50 minutes, mm-hmm. 30 minutes to 25. I know you recommend a ritual called Arrive to your clients, right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Awesome, I like that. I agree with that. Use those 10 minutes, those extra 5 minutes to arrive. And compose yourself. See, think, what do I want to get out of this meeting, right?
Why am I here?
Why am I here?
And that extra, I find a number of my clients do that when they book a meeting a little shorter than the bottom of the hour or the top of the hour. And it's amazing if you say it's a 25-minute meeting or a 50-minute meeting, you get done what you need in 25 or 50 minutes as opposed to all the way to the top of the hour or the bottom of the hour. And then you're running down the hallway late which is never good, never makes a good impression. That's where this whole concept of arriving is. Yes. Just, you know, stop and take 30 seconds and just sit and breathe and think about what are my goals this meeting? Why am I here? Just have a little bit of presence to be able to compose yourself so that you're not sliding into the room, you know, late and everybody's looking at you, and it's
yes,
not a great start.
And the energy, right? It just, the energy, yeah, seeps into our interactions with our colleagues.
Right. We feel like we're totally,
we're apologetic.
Right. We're apologetic. We're not present. You know, you're not focused. So.
And then here's another one.
Yeah.
Here's another one. You get first dibs at your calendar, not your team. Be selfish with your time. If others have access to view your calendar and can send you invites, reduce your available slots. So, and then institute a guideline that meeting requests must include an agenda. So put the onus on the inviter to make it worth everyone's time, right?
Right.
Last, institute meetingless Mondays if you can, for yourself, your team, your department. Even half day is helpful if you can't do it full day. You know, meetingless Mondays.
I've heard from a number of people that that's been really successful. It sometimes is faced with a lot of resistance, but in the end, people then just find a way to get meetings done on other days of the week.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like that 25 minute, you know, if you have 25 minutes, we'll find a way. We're very creative beings.
Good. So one of the things you recommend as a productivity tool for your clients is using a timer. Sometimes the most basic, simple, inexpensive things, hacks, right, can make a difference. So why is that? Tell us about the timer.
All right. I'm going to give you a little history of my own productivity journal. When I started my business 4 years ago, I work in my home office, which is off my kitchen. Lots of distractions, refrigerator, laundry, dishes, prepping for dinner. Not to mention distractions on the computer. I noticed that my brain was jumping around a lot throughout the day, feeling a little antsy, you know. One day I remembered a tip I learned in college. Study for 45 minutes and take a break for 15. Mm-hmm. There's a version of that called the Pomodoro technique, using 25 minutes, 5 minute break. I do it for 50 and then 10. At first, I started using my phone's timer, but I discovered that when it went off, I would just swipe and then turn it off and then just plow back in. You know, I didn't take my break. So I switched to using my oven's timer, which is 15 feet away. When it goes off, I had to get off. I had to get up and turn that stupid thing off. I was so much more productive, though. But there was a downside in that I couldn't see how much time there was left. So I got myself a desktop timer called Time Timer. And the beauty of this is better than an egg timer because it doesn't make that ticking sound. And it has a red band that slowly disappears as the interval goes down. So now I can see, okay, I only have 15 minutes left on this task. What am I going to do to finish this up?
Oh, I like that. Is that an app on your phone or is it something different?
It is an app and it is a physical timer.
Very interesting. Oh, I see Judy showing me a photograph of what this looks like. Okay, we'll try to find that and include it. That's good. I like that a lot.
Super useful. So, no ticking. Red.
No. So, but it is sort of back to almost like the timer that, you know, our mothers use, right, in the kitchen, which seems really basic, but I get that the little ticking isn't. But I think that's a really smart thing to do, you know, whether you're working from home or you have, you know, in your office. All the research, as you said, talks about how you need to take a break. I think it's like every 90 minutes or something, right? Or even shorter time frame than that. But if you just double and triple book yourself and you're one from one meeting to one meeting to one meeting, I mean, it's really self-defeating because at the end of the day, you feel like all I did was run. And I'm guessing it's not likely that when you come to meetings, your staff or your peers, whoever else there, really feels like, you know, you have arrived, that you're prepared, that you're present, that you have some, you know, that you're showing up the way you want to, that you're ready for the meeting. And again, it's like the meeting needs to have purpose.
Yes.
It needs to meet enough so that you make it a priority on your schedule and you're prepared.
And I use the 10 minutes to stretch, do some hand weights. Sometimes I do jumping jacks. I don't feel the need to check my email during the 10 minutes anymore. Like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do some jumping jacks.
Yeah.
Because I have so much energy during that 50 minutes of focus attention. Like, you know, I need to dispel that energy with jumping jacks versus more sitting, right?
Right. Judy's productivity. Well, movement is a big part of, like, you know, engaging your, you know, your brain and getting your body flowing and get the blood moving. And so, yeah, it's better to not just sit there and do emails. You know, it's better to, like, move around. If you're in an office, get up, walk down the hallway, walk around your office, go outside and come back in.
Absolutely. So besides a timer, I recommend something else, which is removing all social media apps from your phone. Go ahead and use them, I say. Just use them on your desktop. If that's too bold, take one app off for 1 week. Try that for 1 week. You can always reinstall it later, right? Try it for just 1 week. Like endurance training, the first day is going to be hell. But keep at it. It will get better.
Get better.
It will. The first day is torture, but you will get used to it.
It's just addictive. I mean, I totally agree with that. I think that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Use it on your desktop. Go ahead. I tell my clients, do it. But just take it off your phone.
Yeah. So it's December. Our listeners will probably hear this podcast either later December or early January. So as we wind down 2018 and we approach the new year, you have some great science-based advice for succeeding with New Year's resolutions. Can you share a little of that with our listeners? And I think you're also planning to do a webinar on this. So tell us about what can we learn about this and when can we learn from you?
Absolutely. We often hear that New Year's resolutions don't work, right? They're a recipe for feeling bad. Why bother? Well, actually, according to 25 years of research by Professor John Norcross, N-O-R-C-R-O-S-S, at the University of Scranton, resolutions do work. About 46% of resolvers, people who wanted to quit smoking, succeed after 6 months if they put their plan into action. If no action, 4% succeed. So the literature shows that goals do work. Resolutions do work if we do something about them. And what that something is very specific. Professor Norcross lays it out in a 5-step process. Psych yourself up, prep, perspire, persevere, and persist. 5 steps. In addition, you've heard of this concept of SMART goals, right, Bobby? Mm-hmm. S-M-A-R-T?
Yes, I think many people have, yes.
Mm-hmm. S, specific, M for measurable, A, attainable, R, relevant, time, T. Mm-hmm. That's also supported in the literature, but I've discovered something else. Using SMART goals is actually not enough. For example, my SMART goal could be get to inbox zero. That fits the SMART formula, S-M-A-R-T. So is answer emails within 24 hours. That fits the SMART concept as well. But those are stupid. Those do not move my business forward. They're not going to give me the huge leaps I need, especially for a one-person firm like me. Those are recipes for disaster. Getting to inbox zero? No. Answering emails within 24 hours? No. So I've come up with a new acronym.
Yes.
Ready? Ready? Okay. It's going to be fun. Smarty Pants Goals.
Okay.
It has right. The SMART in there. It has the SMART in there.
Yeah.
But
and
I
then
add,
what does that stand for?
I add the Y, the P, A, N, T, and S. Okay. Y stands for yours. These goals have to be yours. No one
yours.
Else's.
Yep.
P, positive. These are move towards goals versus move away goals. You know, positive goals. Something we want to move towards. That's P, positive. A stands for audacious, ambitious, things that are going to really move the needle for me. That's A, audacious. N, not too hard, not too easy, right? T stands for totally in your control. Ending global warming is not in my control.
Right.
Right? So T, totally in your control. And then finally, S, stretchy. Stretch me out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my new paradigm, Smarty Pants Goals.
Goals.
So no more inbox zero, no more reply 24 hours. Those are not Smarty Pants goals.
No.
They will not take my business forward in the leaps and bounds that I'm going for.
Love that.
Smarty Pants Goals.
Is there that's a great acronym and a great thought for the new year. Is there a a smarty pants goal that Judy has going to 2019 that you can share with us? Are you still working on that?
I am still incubating my 2019 strategy. But next time we talk,
you have one.
I'm going to share. Yes.
When we post this, I'm going to ask our listeners to comment and share with us, ask them to submit what their smarty pants goals would be.
Nice.
And I'm going to do the same thing. I love that.
Oh, yeah, smarty pants.
Absolutely love that. yeah, that's great. As we wrap up here, just tell us, so how can our listeners keep in touch with you?
My full contact info is on my website, avidatwork.com. That's okay. avidatwork.com. I invite your listeners to sign up for a complimentary 25-minute call with me. 25 minutes, not 30, right? We can discuss where they are now, where they want to be, how to use Smarty Pants goals to take their work to the next level, how I can support them as their accountability buddy. Or we can chat about how to make lemon meringue pie. I love that. I'm all for talking about anything and everything.
Well, I would definitely encourage people to take you up on that, because as I said at the opening, when you and I first met, I had this project that had been on my desk for almost a year, and I just, for some reason, I had a mental block about it. And you have an amazing process and were super, super helpful in supporting me and getting it finally done. I mean, not just a process and directive, but also sort of, you know, help to participate in actualizing it. So I hope that people will contact you and have a consult with you, because I know that your help for me has been invaluable. So thank you.
Yes, my pleasure. I had so much fun with you on that.
Thank you. It was good. It was a really great experience for me. And thank you again. It's really been a pleasure having you on our show today. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I appreciate your valuable insight. And I'm sure our listeners do as well. I want to thank our listeners for joining us. And that's it for today's Executive Aid Station. Please visit my website, which is bobbylaporte.com, and sign up for our Executive Aid Station updates. I look forward to sharing our next episode of the Executive Aid Station with all of you, and stay tuned for that.